All right, this is Sunday morning, 11/20/22. We're going to look at a teaching today on breaking yokes. Like I said before, like Jesus said, he came to set the captives free. And we're also on a mission to do that very thing, set captives free. You know, he showed me some people, and he said this to me. He said, why do you view everything, or you view everything too negatively? People come to your house or analyzing and scrutinizing instead of trying to see their merits and to see the best in them. It's always easy to look at the dark side, isn't it? And think, well, they're not right with God, or they should be doing this and they should be doing that. We need to flip that. That's part of that walking in love towards your brethren. You accept them for who they are. And you're not here on a demolition duty to tear them down and try to build them up in the few hours that maybe you might be in their presence. No. When Jesus was sent to people, just like I told you, how the Lord used me for years, look for a hook that you can help them, build them up. You know what? The gospel is good news. It's not a, well, bless God. You know how we all feel about that. People that are just always judgmental and criticizing you that you're never doing enough and you're not doing it right and all that kind of stuff. What do you want to do with those kind of people? They may be right, but what do you want to do? You don't want to run out the door screaming. That's what you want to do. What about somebody that just says, well, I'm just so proud of you for what you've accomplished and what you're doing? What do those words do? They build. They build. And I think they open a door of opportunity for that person to hear what you have to say, if God gives you something. Everyone needs to know they're loved. Everyone needs to know they have merit. No one needs to feel like, well, you're just, oh, has been. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to hear that. Because we're all his children, as long as we're alive, he's got a plan, and it's a good one, with a good outcome, right? So says Jeremiah. So as servants of the Lord, we're here to build up, lift up the body of Christ. Doesn't matter if they doctrinally believe the way we do or not. We have to have a doorway in. If we judge them and condemn them, there ain't going to be no doorway in. We're here to loose the bonds that Satan has put on them, not heap more on them. Well, maybe I'm just talking to myself this morning. I found a lot of attitudes that I said, Lord, I stand corrected. I'm to be blamed. I've had some wrong attitudes that I need to change. Not even realizing it. Attitude determines altitude in any way you look at it. The Lord knows just where you are at on the journey. He didn't just leave you out here to fend for yourself. It may seem like it, but that's not the case. All right, we're going to look today at breaking yokes. We sing that we have the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God in our lives. Well, let's see what the scriptures have to say about what yokes are and how we relieve people from them. All right, the first one I want to look at is Genesis 27. Verse 40. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and shalt serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke off of thy neck. He became a victim. Yeah. Right here, yoke, literally around the neck, figuratively from 5953 to maltreat, be saucy, to, in other words, just sarcastic and ugly, pain, or impose it literally on a person. So we see here a yoke is not a good thing. Not a good thing. All right? Jesus said this. This is Matthew chapter 11, 29 and 30. Well, let's start with 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This yoke right here is a coupling, servitude, or beam of balance. So we've got God's help, the Holy Spirit's help, to come and yoke up with us to walk in balance, to serve the Lord with a good attitude. Yeah. A coupling up together, just like yokes of, you know, yoke of oxen. Or like C. Peter Wagner talks about the horse teams. That's what they did. They raised horses. And they'd see these teams working together and how much weight they could pull compared to an individual horse. How much power there is together. In other words, Jesus comes alongside, hooks up with us to help us carry whatever yoke we have. He makes it bearable and easier. Okay, let's look at a few more scriptures. Isaiah 58. This is starting with verse 1 here. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. If you notice today, we are under a yoke. We have been all of our lives. And this is what God is doing through this movement. He's breaking, destroying that yoke of bondage. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. The world out there, you see two camps. Those that have the right attitude and they want to help people and do the right thing and they're positive, and those that just want to hit and they want to hurt and they want to make you suffer. They want to do anything they can to demean you. We see that in our own family, and I'm just going, Lord. But it's because of the influence of the world. Is it such a fast that I've chosen a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I've chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, then that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh and blood? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Reward. I always stumble on that word. Brother Hagin always called it reward. Anyway. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. This is talking about getting the right mindset. Just exactly what I started with. Not wanting to hide out from everybody because of what you're going through. Don't want to see nobody, don't want to do nothing, don't want to go nowhere, don't want nothing. How are you going to help anybody? Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and the Lord shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, judging them, well, they need to get their life, we're saying, flipping that, looking at them and thinking, you are just such a person of honor. Look what you have accomplished. Look how talented you are. You are to be praised because you have stuck with it and done it when so many didn't. Just think of the things you could say to flip that old negative, judgmental thing. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. What's happened? You flipped it to where you're not caring about yourself. And God's making everything good because you're not caring about yourself. You're no longer carrying the care about your situation on yourself. You're caring about somebody else, and so He can work in yours. All right. Spring, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not, and they that shall be of thee shall build thee old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of past to dwell in. I heard about something yesterday that grieved my heart. It grieved my heart. It immediately caused me to start thinking bad thoughts. And then this morning I thought, you know, then later the Lord said, you know what? Love never fails. These people have these mindsets because they're a product of the society we live in, the propaganda machine. That's why they think the way they do. That's why they act the way they do. But with you in love, treat them like you want to be treated, with respect. Eventually, those walls will come down. I believe that. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Have you ever been around people that are just so uplifting, and they just build people up, and they're just so pleasant to be around? You just want to hang around those people. But you get around an old negative Nelly, and all they say is some derogatory, nasty thing out of their mouth. You just want to get out of there as fast as you can, right? Everybody's that way. Eventually, the uglies will get nice. The ugly people will even get nice in the presence of that kind of stuff. Kill them with kindness. All right. This indicates that when we go the right way, we become free from the yoke. There will be times when the Lord gives us instruction to loose someone from a yoke. Okay, Matthew 18:18. You know, I truly believe this. If you can get a person's mind right, everything else will follow. If you can get their attitude lifted up, they'll do better. They'll just do better. If you kick them to the curb and kick them down, they'll stay down. Yeah. If they think they have worth and value, they'll get up and start trying to act that. If you expect all they're going to do is be screw-ups, they'll be a screw-up. That song, always look at the bright side of life. There's always something good you can see in somebody. It seems to be very, very easy to just pick out the bad. But there's also something good. Hone in on what is good and see if you can get some results in your situation. I'm sure going to try it. I said, Lord, I stand corrected. I have had wrong mindset about some things. All right, Matthew 18:18. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So is the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about just doing stuff. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit. All right, Jesus' commission was to loose people from yokes. All right, Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, verse 18, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, which gospel means good news. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He wasn't there to heap more yokes on top of what the Pharisees and the Sadducees had already put on top of the people. He was there to set them free from those yokes, those religious bondages. That's what they are. Okay, let's go to Luke 13. Yokes can appear in all kinds of different ways. There's all kinds of yokes, spiritual yokes, physical yokes. 13:10. Jesus here, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. Can you imagine how excruciating and how terrible that would be? And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Like I've said before, that didn't heal anybody on any of the days, much less the Sabbath. Then the Lord answered to him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound all these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. No wonder multitudes followed him. Had that yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God in his life. He was there to set the captives free, not to condemn them. Pick out their faults and their problems. I know there's a proper place for teaching and us learning things like that, but I'm talking as a whole. I mean, you're not going to change somebody in usually the few hours or few minutes that you see them. Now, you do something nice, they'll remember that. They will remember that. And if you say something ugly, they'll remember that too. All right. Matthew 16:19. Jesus said, And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here's what loosed means. Literally or figuratively, loosen, destroy, dissolve, unloose, melt, or put off. talking about stand fast, therefore, in liberty, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Right. All right, go back to Matthew 18, or go forward. Matthew 18, 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. When he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. That's a yoke. Debt. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due. So likewise will my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespass. Are we holding things against people? Maybe people that have hurt someone we love or something like that. Are we doing that? You know, this is where remission of sins comes in. Jesus, you know, would say, well, your sins be forgiven you, rise up and walk. That's a yoke. Loosing people from past sins that have already been covered by the blood of Jesus. So they can feel like they can move forward and actually have life going forward instead of always looking back and regretting and just dying that way because they're just so burdened down with a lifetime of failures, a lifetime of sins and things like that. That's quite a yoke to get off of you. But Jesus was the one type that did that. And as we follow in his footsteps, that's what we're supposed to do. God may show you things that aren't right there, but that's for you to pray for them later or whatever, or as the Lord leads. I mean, there was times that Jesus would come right out and say, well, you're living with this one and that one, and you know, you've been married 5 times or whatever it was. It was never to hurt them. It was more to show them who he was. The woman at the well, he showed her, I'm Messiah. I'm the one you've been expecting. Because she recognized him as a prophet. Okay, let's keep going. All right, Mark 7. No, did I read 8? I just read 18, right? Loose there, this one where he forgave the debt. Loosed here means relieve, release, dismiss, let die, pardon, or divorce. In other words, sever. Severed from that yoke. Severed from those problems. Severed from that bondage of feeling guilty all the time that you've done wrong. Okay, now, Mark. Chapter 7. All right, I'll find it here, Mark 7. We've all got our list. Like I told you a few weeks ago, I was praying, I was weeping, and I was feeling bad about something that happened 50 years ago nearly. And the Holy Spirit just said, forgiven. Just jerked me right out of that pity party. All right, Mark 7:32. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. He took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. That's definitely a yoke. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. You know what? You start doing things like that, you will have the crowds like Jesus did too. In fact, you'll probably have more. Packed house. Bigger than a Trump rally. All right, Acts 16. All right, and it came to pass, verse 16, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. You know, it's amazing to me how the devil tries to hide, you know, the tares in the wheat, tries to hide. Mask, say the right things, but you just know something's not right. She's saying all the right things. Listen to what. And she did this many days. Oh, these are the servants of the Most High God. We see that happening now with the Lord flushing out the traitors. And they're saying all the right things, even saying MAGA, probably got on a Trump hat. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And she came out, and he came out that same hour. Loosed from a yoke. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace and to the rulers. So they put them in jail. Beat their backs. All right. They accused them right here. 21. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. When they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You know what would have happened if they got in there and said, Lord, you just made it too hard. The journey's just too hard. There's just no way I can do this. They'd still be in there. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds was loose. So we see physical yokes being broken out of prison. They were in yokes. Did you know that? Those stocks. Two types of loosing here, supernatural and natural. The yoke gets broken because of the anointing. It shows up in the natural. The Lord has said to us many times that what is happening in the natural is a result of what is happening in the supernatural. It happens in the supernatural first. We can see this reflected in each case we have read. Okay. We must have the mind of the Spirit on this. What is acted on spiritually results in natural action. See, when we learn to follow the Spirit in this, I'm not saying just go all hog and bind everything and all this stuff, loose everything. No, be led by the Spirit in what you do. You've got a whole arsenal. But you know what? Depending on the battle that's ahead, the soldier picks the right gun, the right whatever for the battle. They don't always use the tanks. Or they might not always use a rifle. There's different things used for different things. They don't always drop bombs. But sometimes they do. It depends on the battle and what's ahead. We've got all this equipment to use. And it's for the Holy Spirit to say, okay, now get out this piece and get out that piece and say this and say that. This is by the finger of God. Okay. All right. We have to have the mind of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, verse 1, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handing the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, it goes on about being troubled on every side, distressed but not perplexed and not in despair. You know, when you start doing these things, you draw fire. Kind of goes with the territory. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The other morning I said, Lord, I count it an honor and a privilege to suffer shame for your name. Think about it. Flipping that attitude, that I just talked about, and I'm not going to go back through it. Lord, I chose to do this. I chose to enter the combat zone. I chose to be trained. I chose to be your vessel for honor and glory. And I'm not going to complain. All right, Psalms 8:2. We saw this with Paul and Silas. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. In other words, praise. Neutralized. They gave glory to God. What would they have done if, what would have happened if they complained? Like I said, they'd still be in there. No telling. All right, turn to Psalms 149. This is a really good one. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud with their upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Pretty powerful. It's like Psalms 133 about unity, which I'll read that. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and the dew of Hermon as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Talk about the anointing flows when there's unity. If the body of Christ was as unified as the devil has been, we would have whipped him a long time ago. We wouldn't be facing what we're facing now. All right, Acts 15. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and dissipation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. To this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write upon unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. So a yoke can be false doctrine in the church. A yoke. We see it today very much so. So, all kinds of yokes, all kinds of avenues to take off the yokes of oppression off of people. Don't argue with people. Sometimes, you know, if you can give them a scripture, give them a scripture. Well, go look this up and see what you think about it. Tell me what you think about it instead of saying, you better go, you do, no. Say, you know, well, I found this scripture. It's real interesting. You might like it. I want you, would you go look it up and tell me what you think? We'll discuss it. Or whatever. Don't argue with people, you know, because what does that do? It says it gender strifes. It just causes strife. But when you get your apostles on board and they start making decisions about things like these and it starts going into all the churches, you're going to have a powerful church. Absolutely. They're going to get their minds off this silliness and get it onto what breaking yokes off of people. Taking care of business is what it is. All right? Right there, yoke. A coupling, servitude, a beam of balance. This is Jesus' yoke. That's the yoke. That's the only yoke we want. That's the only yoke we need. Not the yoke of false doctrine. All right, Galatians 5. In this instance, in this scripture, it also means just what I read. A coupling, servitude, a beam of balance. This is Jesus' yoke, exchanging yokes. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. We're talking about the same subject here that I just read in Acts. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. You want to negate the grace? Get under the law. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, not by the law. And for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none other wise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach the circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Witchcraft, by the way, is manipulating someone. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Didn't say they wouldn't go to heaven. They're just not going to be successful in walking in the kingdom of God and accomplishing anything or doing anything. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's how this is the attitude that people need to see from us. Right there. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So this is a peaceful mission. You have to be very discerning at times to not say anything that might cause that peace to no longer be there. You know, some things are just between God and that person. You know, after you establish that kind of relationship with a person, you might be able to speak into their life. But being sassy and saucy, most people are not going to, they're not going to listen to that. No. Yokes can and most assuredly come from wrong doctrine. I mean, it just jams up everything. I think it's the worst yoke of all, just to be honest. All right, let's keep going here. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Well, this is a different kind of yoke. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. I think about Joseph in the prison and his attitude, or in Potiphar's house. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Like Daniel, he was always very respectful of whatever king that was over him. Because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, surmising. You know what? We can a lot of times set our atmosphere by our behavior and our attitude. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, for such withdraw thyself. I tell you what, this is a big deal in the workplace, this contention starting. And but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having, food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Yeah, we see that in our nation, in the world. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, we're not just supposed to talk it, we're supposed to walk it. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. He didn't rail on them. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Yeah, we got Christians talking about UFOs and all these galaxies out there and all these, off-world people and all this bull. Just bull. What happens? If we're one band, one sound, hearing the same thing, then you don't have people going off on these tangents, do we?
Right. Let's keep going. Just a minute. This is Psalms 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseneth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord.
See, the Lord's going to take care of the one that does it right. Doesn't matter what the wicked does, he'll take care of them. That doesn't mean we get that nasty back, right? No, we have to keep doing what's right. All right? John 11. This is the story of the raising up of Lazarus. In verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin.
Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. See this, even death can't hold. Even death can't keep its hold. Will we ever raise anybody from the dead? I don't know. There might be a time. We don't know. Right here, loose here means literally or figuratively loosen, dissolve, destroy, melt off, or put off. Loosed from the grave seem impossible, not when you follow the Spirit. Some that came before us raised people from the dead, like Smith Wigglesworth. I forget, how many did he raise from the dead? 14? 14 people from the dead. He was pretty crude in his method. I remember, I've got some of it, one of his books. He picked that dead body up and slammed it against the wall several times. I said, and all those people, can you imagine his family, you know? But the guy come back from the dead. He might have been all bruised up, but he came back from the dead. Oh, Lord. All right, let's keep going here. Matthew 28. Is he the one, his wife died, and he raised her up? She told him to, please let me go. Leave me alone. Please. Yeah.
She told him, you ain't never going to obey God if I stay here.
Yep. Yeah, because he started late, in, I think mid-40s or something like that. All right, this is Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And quickly, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, there you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. There's other accounts, Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. Okay. The Father loosed him from death. The grave couldn't hold him. All right. As we follow the Spirit, we may have some of the same opportunities that Jesus had and some of his disciples had. In the book of Acts, there are several places in the book of Acts that reflects this. Loosing people from yokes physically, spiritually, monetarily, from wrong doctrines. Yeah, from the grave. All right, let's look at a few instances in Acts, and then we're going to be done. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid dead at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms, and Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You know, we got people that beg on the street corners here, and there's a man that he doesn't have a hand. Can you imagine? He's there wanting you to give him money. He's got his little cup and his little sign. If you got out and said, grow, command that arm to grow out, that hand, you'd have an instant following right there. Mega. Like MAGA. All right, Mark 16. No, not Mark 16, sorry. Acts 4. I'm thinking. 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. It came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, who has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved." You know what? It's going to be a whole lot easier to win people to the Lord when they see something like that happen. They got the goods. It's kind of like the truther movement. Most of them are just talk. But when you finally get somebody that's got the goods, you don't want any of that other stuff. See, that's the way it's going to be. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. A miracle happened. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, it is straitly threatened them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." So they persecuted them, told them not to speak in that name. They just said, "But we cannot break the things which we have seen and heard, but speak the things which you've seen and heard." In other words, you can command us not to, but we have to. We have to. I believe the new church that's coming is going to be one like this. It's got power. Not no power. Zero power. All right, Acts chapter 9. Get a drink. They weren't doing this in their own power. They gave glory to Jesus. All right, Acts 9:32. "And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy." I'd be sick of it too. "And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." Now there wasn't job. Do you know that the gospel of healing is the calling card of the gospel? "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner." Wow. That stuff starts happening. All right, Acts 12:17. This is the story of Peter in prison. And the saints are praying for him. He's in bonds. It says, verse 1 says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. So evidently they were praying for the loosing of his bonds in the spirit. It sent an angel to do it. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And wist not it was true which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street. And forthwith the angel departed from him. Then he shows up at Rhoda's house. You know the story. All right, Acts 14. Okay, let's see here. All right, 14:8. And there sat a man at Lystra, and potent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Laconians, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Yeah. What happened? Paul got stoned. The disciples surrounded him. What happened? He raised up. Some say he was dead. Danny said someone, I don't know who you said that they think that's when he had his vision, when he went up to heaven, third heaven. Regardless. All right, Acts 19. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So these handkerchiefs that were prayed over broke yokes off of people. Like I said, we've got a whole array of things that we can use. But we have to ask the Holy Spirit, what weapon for this particular? We don't just do them to do them. That's why it becomes old hat and it doesn't work. This is as the Spirit wills. Okay.